Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning into the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. We are back. We are so back. It's been a while. RMT taking the summer off. We had a lot going on. You know, a lot of tennis outside, 40-hour weeks. Couldn't find time for the pod, but we are back. We're not jumping ship. Everyone's like, where's RMT? He's out of hiding. He is back. We are here for our weekly shows. Should have gave a heads up, but you know, if I do that, people come, you know, trying to find me. People aren't going to like the pod's going to be off. So we are back. Hopefully the audience will be back too. Kind of a surprise back appearance, but we have football on the horizon. Haven't had a lot of sports this summer besides the up and down White Sox, which we will get into during this show. A lot of White Sox talk, a lot of football talk. NFL is back. We'll give our predictions. Which means that we also have to do a Fichtner Cup League of Champions preview, a preview to this year's league. We don't have any, you know, draft information out besides the draft order, so we'll get into the draft order and predictions from RMT and who he thinks will be crowned this year's Fichtner champ. Let's get it on. Before we dive into the White Sox here, Riddle Me That is brought to you by PointsBet. If you've not hopped on a PointsBet yet and you're a new user, you can use the code YoungCS13. That's Y-O-U-N-G, the letters C-S, the numbers 13, 1 and 3. If you're a new user and you use that code, you will get 2 risk-free bets, 1 standard bet, 1 points bet. You don't even have to sign up in person anymore. You do it on your phone. It takes 2 seconds. You can put as much down as you want. If you want to put $10 down, get $10 back. If you want to put $100 down, you get $100 back. And when I mean back, I mean in credits. So you don't get $100 back if you lose. You just get $100 in credits, but it's still, you know, if you're willing to put $100 in, then you get that back if you lose the bet. It's a good deal. Everyone here's done it. It's up to the rest of you to figure it out. But back to the White Sox here. I was going to do this podcast yesterday, Thursday, before I went to the Sox game. And boy, am I happy I decided to do it today. A day after a 21-5 loss to the Houston Astros. I remember in the second inning, my buddy Elsie goes, he's like, it looks like it's just going to be another under day. He took the over in the game. I think the Astros took that by themselves and they tripled it. So if you had the over of 8, the final score was 21-5. So add that up, 26. I think you hit your total, Jonathan Elsie. Good hit. But, you know, to the play of the White Sox, I mean, so it's Houston Astros in town, 4-game set. Sox take the first 2 games in dramatic fashion. Yoan Moncada, hero in both, game-winning hits to take game 1 and game 2. Good for Yoan. He's been in a huge slump. You know, apparently he's just a god when guys are on base. He hits like almost 500 with runners in scoring position, especially with guys on. I think it was like 462. I'm a round up. You know, when guys aren't on, you know, you see his average as a whole, it's barely at 200. If that, it's probably like 190. So you can just see what he does when nobody's on. So he can't get on, but when guys are on, he scores. So he's batting 6th in the lineup these days, so okay. Works out, but it's still ugly. You know, we hate him most of the time until he does what he does on Monday and Tuesday. 7th and 8th inning hits. I think they were both in the 8th. Yes, both in the 8th. Sox with dramatic wins. Win by 1 both games. And then we get to game 3. Sox get to loss 3-2. You know, no one, you know, not, you know, still kind of hurt because the Sox, they're down 3-0. then they get one run. They have bases loaded in the fourth, nobody out. Double play. It's 3-2. Can't get the guy in from third. Awful bat from Angle. And then we just, that's a score. 3-2, we can't get a pass. But you know what? Houston defense was great. Houston pitching was good. You got to tip their caps to best team in the AL. Or at least one of the best teams in the AL. But then, you know, we get to yesterday. 1 o'clock game. Boys are there. Boys are in attendance. Actually, I had the week off this week for work. So it was, perfect. I could go to the game. We did a little tailgate before, sponsored by Chris and Susan Elsie. We had sandwiches. I was even going to buy a jersey. I was going to buy a new jersey. I was going to wait till like the third inning because I couldn't find one. I was going to let the game settle in first. But boy, let me tell you, am I happy I did not buy a jersey yesterday. The Astros unloading in the third and fourth inning, scoring 10 runs combined. And before you look up, it's 10-0 Astros. The Sox could literally not get an out for about 30 minutes. This is, quote-unquote, supposed to be the biggest game of the year. We have a chance to win the four-game series against Houston, go into Cleveland this weekend with our heads held high. But it was the exact opposite. It was a clown convention. We left the game in the fourth inning because it took 2 hours for that to be completed. We literally got home off the red line, and we watched the last three innings. The game didn't end until 5. Jay Hay, Josh Harrison, vroom vroom, was pitching in the ninth inning, which was actually hysterical. He gave up like 5 runs. They were rocking him. He was throwing strikes, though. But that's just not what you wanted to see. So, you throw it out the window. The Sox are still only 2.5 games back. They're in Cleveland this weekend, who are leading the division. So, according to the stats, if you sweep Cleveland this weekend, you will be in first place. Do I think the Sox are going to sweep Cleveland? No, I don't. Can they win 2 out of 3? Absolutely. Will they win 2 out of 3? I don't know. Based on what they played like yesterday, this series can go one of two ways. They're going to get swept, right? They're going to get swept. They're not going to compete. I'm going to say one of three ways. The second way, they compete but lose in heartbreak fashion. Maybe lose 2 out of 3. That still hurts. And the third way is you compete your asses off, you take 2 out of 3, maybe sweep, and you are in control. So it's up to the Sockies this weekend. There is no excuses. We will see who comes to play this weekend. We will see if that last game affects the White Sox. But it has been up and down season. It's been the first podcast in a while, and thank God it is, because there'd be nothing good to say about those White Sox this summer. Yeah, they're 3 games over 500 now. It's a miracle. They've been literally 500 for 2-3 straight months. Pure mediocrity. After that 11-game losing streak to their division in the beginning of the season, they've just truly never really recovered from that. But they kind of have. They somehow have the best record since a certain date. I think it was the end of July. Because they're just so... They keep winning series or they split, but it's so frustrating because they should be 15 or 20 games over 500. So it's just, where we're supposed to be and where we're at with 3 games over, with how good the Guardians are playing, right? It's just going to be one of those things that if they can develop a system where their manager, Tony La Russa, can actually manage, right? If he can actually do something. We haven't even gotten into Tony yet. We haven't even gotten into Tony La Russa yet. Worst manager in the league. It's so sad. You see every team that's competing, and you're like, oh, that's a pretty good manager. Look at Terry Francona on Cleveland. Look what they have. Look how young of a team they have. Right? The Guardians are not supposed to be here. But here they are. First year as the Guardians with a stupid name, and they're at top of the division. I got to take a deep breath. It's just like, wow. A lot coming on right now. So basically what I'm saying is here, this is it this weekend for the Sox. I'm putting an ultimatum out. We will see. But you know what? We keep saying this is the series, and somehow they'll split. They'll barely win 2 out of 3. And then the teams around them, like the Guardians and Twins, somehow lose a game. So they're always they've been 1 to 3 games out for a good 3 weeks now. Maybe even longer, 3-4 weeks. So they're there. They lost 3 out of 4 to the Royals. Unacceptable series right there. Couldn't sweep the A's. They They did win 2 out of 3. They did sweep the Tigers, and then they won the first two games against the Stros. So they're still alive. And if you were to tell me, yeah, before the Astros series that they would split, fine. But the way they did it with winning the first two and losing the last two is just, you know, it does, you know, not, you know, I'd rather lose the first two and then win the next two just to carry some momentum into the next series. But they kind of, that last game was such a joke that you're like, wow, this team, like really the one day. And, you know, it goes out to their pitching. Their pitching has actually been so good this year. But when it matters most, right, Giolito, trash this season. He's gone from the worst pitcher in the league to one of the best pitchers in the league to one of the worst pitchers again. Crazy how that works. Kopech, so good to start the year. Actually had a great game against the Tigers, struck out 12. It's the Tigers. They struck out the most in the league. They're the worst team in the league. Versus Houston yesterday, he did not have his command. And he does that. He's done that twice against Houston. You know, he had that one good series against New York, but the Yankees suck now too. So any good team he plays against, he gets up and tight. He can't find the strike zone. Dylan Cease, let's get into Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease might win the Cy Young this year. It might be Verlander, right? But it could be Cease. Cease was not an all-star. That is the most disrespectful non-all-star appearance I've ever seen. And I don't even, who cares about the all-star game? But players do. They want pride, right? And you also, I think you get paid more. You probably get an extra nice big check. But Cease doesn't care about that. He just wants to win. But look at him this year. He had, I think, since like early 1900s, the longest streak of one. So he, you know, had like, I think he had like 16 or 17 appearances where he let up one earned run or less. That is absurd, right? And he's losing a lot of those games because his team can't score. But these Sox actually usually win when he pitches because, like I said, he only lets up one run or less. And then the bullpen can come in with, you know, a 4-1 lead. He's been unbelievable. He's our ace. He's our guy. All right, Johnny Cueto, beast, starting the minors this year. Right? He's a sub-3 ERA. Killing it. Right? He's Mr. Consistency. He is like a he pitches 6 innings every game, quality starts up the ass. All right? Lance Lynn, been pitching way better lately. He gets the bump tonight. The ball is in Lance's hands tonight. Last time Lance was in Cleveland, did not go well. Anytime the Sox have played in Cleveland, it has not gone well. Drades. Do we not remember the first time I played in Cleveland with Tim Anderson? Luckily, Tim Anderson isn't playing tonight. We got Elvis Andrews, the big addition. Elvis, right? Our guy. It was decided yesterday at the game. We looked at our phone. Oh, we got Elvis. Well, thank God, because we got Romy Gonzalez and Sosa at shortstop, who can't field the ball, they can't hit. So Elvis Andrews is definitely an upgrade until Tim Anderson gets back, which will still be, you know, 4 weeks probably. So pretty much, you know, there's probably like 6 weeks left of the season. He's gone for at least, you know, 2/3 of the rest, and then hopefully the playoffs. So it's going to be a grind, but here we are in Cleveland. Ball's in our court. What will the Sockies do? What will the Sockies do? So I want to get into some NFL and fantasy. NFL only a few weeks away. I have my first draft tomorrow. Got the number 2 pick. This is not a fake draft, so I'm not going to get too into it. But I am liking me some number 2. I have like 5 draft order reveals already, but no actual draft. So I'm just sitting here. We're anxious. We're, you know, I'm not a big mocker. So, you know, I've tried mocking in the past and it just doesn't work for me. Like my team is so like, the only way I can truly mock is if I got a group of like my actual friends who I'm going to be playing with and we mocked together, a group mock, you know, which is kind of, I don't know if I want to do a group mock. Mocking is kind of on your own, but it's like every time I draft, I'm like, oh, I'll get the 6th pick. Let's see. You know, it was, I think actually when you know, sometimes it, like, I like having like a 9 or 10 pick because you get 2 picks in a row. That 6 or 7 is brutal because you're right in the middle and you do not know who's dropping to you. It's really hard to mock because the people in front of you, you know, your leagues don't always go as you mock. The rankings are always different. People don't care about rankings sometimes, which is honestly a good thing. So it should be anyone's game. But the first few, you can get a feel, okay, I'm going to get 1 or 4 of these good players. So that's fine. It makes it easy. But mocking just kind of gives me unrealistic expectations, and then I'm flaccid once the draft starts. But I'm like, this is not going how I mocked. At least if I don't mock, it's like I'm going with my gut. I don't care what these rankings say. I don't care what Matthew Berry, I don't care what Field Yates is saying. I'm picking my guys. I'm sticking to it. So mocking, I think, second guesses myself as well. So for all you extreme mockers out there, unless you're just, you know, there's some pro mockers that know what they're doing, and they're like, I'm mocking, I'm doing my research, fine. But like the amateur mockers, it's a grind out there. It's not really my thing. Maybe I'll mock like once before just to get a feel. But even that's like, and then I'm like, I hate this team. Or it's like, oh, I love this team. And then I just, it's just the whole thing. But before we get into the draft, we have our fake draft reveal today. But we're going to dive into some NFL first. But it's all going to be grouped into the same segment because not enough fake material yet. But I just want to get the boys going with a little reveal. We got our draft Labor Day weekend that's coming up. Klein's boat. It's going to be lit. Don't know. You know, people are questioning how we're going to draft on the boat. It's not going to be logistically. You know what? I trust the captain. Carhans knows what he's doing. Commissioner seems confident. So, you know, we'll figure it out. You know, the biggest thing for me, where's the chow at, though? Will there be chow? Do we chow before the boat, on the boat, after the boat? Right? That's a big thing right there. When is the chow coming? Logistics will be figured out in time. I trust the boys in charge. So not worried about that. So, to NFL, though. NFL right around the corner. Bears preseason last night. Bears over this Hawks. If you had the over, 38.5, you're flaccid. It's 38. It came down to... So this is it. So the preseason lines even have it down. So Bears money line. I didn't take it, but a couple of my boys did. Plus 155. Holman and Coughlin. Horny for the money lines. Easiest block ever. Bears dominated. The Hawks suck. I mean, they didn't have their, you know, starters really going, but I mean... They don't have any. Like, their quarterback is Geno Smith right now. I'm pretty sure Drew Locke is hurt, so it's gonna be rough in Seattle. They're bad. Right, I'd hammer the under on over under wins if you're trying to do it for that Seattle trash. I mean, I know it's preseason, but I'm like, oh, bad vibes. Bears just kicked their ass. Fields played one drive. Simeon took him down. Simeon from Trevor Simeon, Northwestern baby. Come on, love the Bears victory. But if you had the over-under, it was 38.5, and it was, you know, so it was 27-3, right, Bears. Meanwhile, let me tell you, there's already a muff punt this game. That's how you scored one touchdown, BS, at the end of the half. You'll take it for Bears' money line. But it was 38, and so it was 27-3. Seattle drives, scores, goes for two, gets it, so it's 27-11. So it's 38 now, you know, and it's 38.5. You know, still 2 minutes left. So the Bears together, they're just going to knee it. You know, and of course, onside kick, Seattle, bang, gets it back. And you're like, oh my God. So Seattle goes all the way down to like the 5-yard line, first and goal. There's like 30 seconds left, and you're like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, if you actually took the over under of this preseason game, I mean, fuck you. But at the same time, you're like, damn, it comes down to this. Even in preseason, Seattle, 3-and-out on their, you know, on the Bears side of the field. You gotta be just, if you have the under. If you're taking the under two, God. But you're going crazy. The over, you're just like, wow, football's back, and I hate it. So stay away from the preseason unless it's like, I mean, honestly, it's, you know, it sounds like such a degenerate comment. But like, yeah, Bears were plus 155. I think they were plus 170 to start. People were hammering them. Like, preseason's so bad, like, you would never take the Seahawks minus 150. That'd just be, like, straight to jail. Right, but the Bears, you can put a little down and have some value. Like there's nothing else on. So if you're really into gambling, you're like, fuck it. I'm sure a lot of big-time people picked the Bears last night. But I would not advise betting on the preseason. It's just gross. I guess the over has been cashing most of the time. But, of course, when you take it, like yesterday, 38.5 is a lot of points. You just don't know. Preseason's just so unpredictable. So it's like, I stay far away from preseason ball. But I'm down. If someone throws money down, I'll watch the game, root for them. Right, root for the boys. But... some disgusting scenes last night for bad beats for preseason runners. You're like, oh, what has life come to? Right? But preseason's almost over. Before that, and when that's over, it's going to be red zone. It's going to be Chris Hansen. Scott Hansen, I think. I forget which one. Chris or Scott. Hansen. He's going to be there Sundays. Red zone out. You know, one screen Chromecast to the left with whatever team's on NFL. Or Fox. I mean, it's here.
So, you know, people ask, oh, you know, Tom Brady's back in Tampa. Is he taking it down? Well, Tom Brady's not even, we don't even know what's going on with Tom. So we don't know about the Bucs. Cardinals re-signed Kyler Murray. Are they going to be good or are they just going to be a bust? Still, DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be there for a good part of the season. Will James Conner be good? You got teams like the Colts, who got Matt Ryan now, and Jonathan Taylor. That could be a powerhouse, right? Michael Pittman, breakout star. Defense is good. I like the Colts. They were good last year, but now it's like, hey, they had Carson Wentz last year, and they fucked themselves at the end of the year, right? So you're like, damn, but I think the Colts have a chance to be really good. I think Matt Ryan's a very good replacement. You know, yeah, the Colts are going like the Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, and now Matt Ryan. They're just going old veteran quarterbacks. But, like, those are talented, you know, quarterbacks, and they have weapons around them. So, obviously, it's like it makes sense for, like, not a lot of money. So, I like what the Colts are doing. And you got teams like the Chiefs who are, you know, they get rid of Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins. The Dolphins are another story. Let me get to them in a little bit. But Chiefs, man, it's like Patrick Mahomes. Is he going to lead it back? Kelce in the squad. Now they got, like, you know, their wide receivers are just, like, who's going to be like the number one receiver? Juju? Mecole Hardman? Even though I think he got hurt the other day. Running backs, you got that Pacheco guy. Could be fucking beast. But you still got Clyde Edwards. You got, like, 10 running backs. But that's the thing. It's like Chiefs are like the Warriors. Golden State Warriors, by my mind. It doesn't matter who you plug in. There's always, like, there's going to be, like, there's, like, new Jordan Poole players. And you're like, all right, they'll just sub in. Because you got Mahomes. Mahomes is Curry, right? He runs the show. Kelce is like Draymond Green. No, he's not Draymond Green. He's Draymond Green, but I'm just saying he's like that fucking guy that just can do everything. He's like your mega superstar offense. He's like your, like, I don't even know who a player on because the Warriors just have so much shooters. It's like he's not Klay Thompson. Like, I guess he could be Klay. He just fucking scores, right? And then you got, like, Juju and the gang are just like your little role players, right? But they work. And then the defense is, you know, at times can be a beast when it needs to be. Sucks sometimes, but it's, you know, it usually locks it down by the end of the year. The Chiefs are going to be good. Right? How about the Chargers? So how about the whole division, right? You got Chiefs, Mahomes. You got Chargers with Herbert and Eckler. You got Khalil Mack now. You got a fucking good defense. So it's like Chargers could be good. Right? They're going to be making noise. You got the Raiders. How about the Raiders getting Devontae? You got Carr still. You know, Renfro. You still got, you know, I like that swagger they have in Vegas. You know, they got big ticket Vegas, man. They're good. But it's like, look at this division. And then you got Denver, who just got Russell Wilson. You know, going to the Broncos. Tumen territory. Who's horned up for the Broncos, but, you know, I'll throw Lemlin Daddy in there. If you're listening, Jonathan Blankspace Lemlin, and what's he up to? He's probably a doctor by now. He's killing it. A little Marquette University. Or I think he's like a nurse, maybe. So maybe like a Ben Stiller vibes. Meet the parents. Lemlin. Good man. But yeah, he's ready for the Broncos. So like, will they be good? You know, good defense. You got Russell Wilson. That division's up for grabs. I mean, everyone's like, oh, who's gonna win? I mean, you still got to give it to the Chiefs, right? It's still their division to lose. But you got teams that are coming. They're ready to go. And you got the other side. You got teams like the Niners who are just like, all right, I guess Trey Lance is the guy now. Where's Jimmy G going to go? He's going to leave him for dead. But they got Debo back. That was some concern, right? But, you know, Debo, Trey Lance, San Francisco D, sign me up. All right. Packers still got Rodgers back. That was a thing. Everyone thought maybe he'd leave. Right to Bronco country. He's staying. And it's like, but no Devontae. But they still got boys. Aaron Jones, Dylan. Now the receivers, they just drafted Christian Watson. I mean, I can remember, he's good. Right? They got, you know, guys are going to step up on the Packers wide receivers. Right? They always just slide in. It's like kind of like Mahomes and company. You know, it's Rodgers. And you got teams like, you got weird teams like the Saints. Like, are they going to be good? With Winston? I don't really know what's going on with Kamara. Right? And then you got Cowboys, who should be good. Dak and company. It's like every year, it's like Cowboys. But it's like the Cowboys. They always choke. So I don't believe in shit with Dallas. But they're always going to be good. You know, you got Dak. You got older Zeke, but he's still good. Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. I just saw the biggest hype-up video for the Eagles. It was a tailgate, and it was just like some guy some guy off the street. I mean, he's 26, so he's my age. He's like, I'm 26 years old. He's like, I played 2 years varsity. And he's like, just kidding. He's like, I'll play in if they need me. He's like, let's go. I mean, he's pumped. Eagles were pumped. So it's like, I love that shit. So maybe Eagles have the magic. But then you got Jalen Hurts. And then now you got A.J. Brown from Tennessee. So will he hype up that receiving core with Devonta Smith and company? Right? So the Eagles could be dangerous. They got Gainwell. He's good. Defense can be good for the Eagles. Right? They're always in it. Right? And Titans. That's another team. But Derrick Henry back. Will he stay healthy? Right? You got Tannehill. You got Malik Willis who they drafted looming in the shadows. So if Tannehill goes down, it's going to be Willis. Willis probably needs a year or two. But, I mean, Titans still going to be a force to be reckoned with, you'd think. Right? Receivers are iffy. Right? And then, you know, let me get to the, you know, back to the Bucs here. You know, back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You got Tom Brady back. Right? Arians retires. Brady comes back. Is there beef there? Well, who cares now? It doesn't matter. Todd Bowles is the coach. But Brady's there. You got Julio Jones now on the Buccaneers. That's interesting. I kind of like that. Right? So NFL's going to be cool this year. And, of course, you know, you got the Bears. I already talked enough about them in preseason. You got the Bears. But it's going to be a great Bears season. They have no expectations. They're supposed to suck. I think Ethan Holman's onto something. They will be better than people think. You know, they're going to make the side screen for at least the first 5-6 weeks until they're out of it. So we'll be watching. People ask me, are you a true Bears fan? Am I a true diehard Bears fan? Probably not. But I watch every game. I'm into them. I just don't have that same passion. Like when the White Sox lose, it ruins my day. I hate everything. When the Bears lose, I flip to the next game. And I guess we're so used to that because football is one of those like magical things where it's like, yeah, the Bears suck, but you got fantasy. All right, baseball, basketball, right? Yeah, I play fantasy baseball, but still it's like I want the Sox to win over anything. I want the Bulls to win. You know, I don't play fantasy basketball anymore. Fuck that. But it's like I want the Bulls to win. I don't care about anything else. So when they lose, I take it personally. When the Bears lose, I don't take it personally. So I guess I'm not truly a diehard fan, but I watch every game. I'm into them. I'm not, you know, when they're bad, I still watch. So I'm not hopping off the bandwagon. So I'd say I'm a fan. I'm definitely a fan, though. I go to games. I went to with Hash D'Lo last year. Tailgate for the Bears-Niners. What a sick game. Fields had that sick run, scored. Missed the extra point. Bears lost, but what a game that was. And what a tailgate that was. Tailgating is definitely not overrated. I highly advise doing it at a Bears game. Those people are nuts. People are like handing around fireball shots. And you're doing fireball shots at 10:30 in the morning on a Sunday. And you have to work tomorrow. You're like, oh, God. But enough about NFL. Let's get to the Fichtner reveal here. So Fichtner Cup, as I said, draft in Klein's yacht a couple weeks away. But here we go with the draft order. I already did it on Instagram Live, but we're going to do it again here. Number one. We got Big Sam Kuhn, number one pick. Everyone's eager to see who he picks there. It could be anyone. It's a wild card for a first pick. You got to love it. Right? That's kind of like Eddie Lacy vibes. When he took him, and he was great. Everyone's like, Eddie Lacy, Kuhn, number two. He's like, fuck yeah. Takes Peyton Manning next. Or I think he might have taken Peyton Manning first or second. Won the league. Mike Nasser, number two. Right? Love that. Nasser. Who's he taking? You know, Nasser, big locker room questions last year for Nasser. Big locker room questions. All right, so we'll see if he got the locker room together this year. And number three, we got Cough Daddy. Cough Daddy at number three. Cough is looming. Rough year last year for Cough. He's come back with vengeance. Right? Couple questionable years for Cough last couple years. He needs to prove something this year. Prove that he's on top. Number four, Mr. Yacht, Klein Hans, hosting the draft, hosting the sexiness in that man's V-necks. That man can rock a V. I don't know what it is. He can rock that deep V. Not that many people can rock that. It looks ugly. He looks fucking hot. Number five, Lebo, about that action. Tough pick for Lebo, 5-6 range. Can always be tough, but I think he still likes where he's sitting. I'm sure he's crafting right now. Lebo himself. At number six, we got Classic Holman at the worst draft spot
in the draft, and he knows it, but he loves it. Holman, right in the middle of the pack, right where we always will be, Mr. Optimistic. At 7, we got Vegas himself, big ticket review. Big ticket at 7, not going to make the draft this year, but who he will be calling in. We love that. Number 8, the commissioner. Got to give him a boo. Mr. Friday Beers, Luke Boyd. Just got his, almost didn't buy his plane tickets, I heard, to get here, but he's going to be here. He'll find a way here. He always does. We love you, Commish. At number 9, we got a Mr. Nick Fornato. Nato himself / Liam McFarland. I'm not going to leave out McFarland. He's part of that team. McFarland is a part of the team. McFarland is a part of this league. You know, for people that don't understand, he's not drafting, but he is a heart and soul of the Fichtner Cup group chat. Always wanting to hang with the boys. Always offers up beers in the garage. Always traveling. Always up to something. We love you, Liam. We love you, Nato. And at number 10, yours truly, RMT himself, Riddle, drafting himself last. I think that's just out of like respect to the league. You can't draft it. If you're doing an online, you know, a Instagram live draft, you can't do it, you know, off. You know, it can't be the first one to be drafted. But yeah, Riddle's going last. We love it. But yeah, let's get after it. Next time you hear from me, we'll do a little more. We'll see. You know, actually, I don't know. Next pod, we might not have a team draft yet. So we'll see. Might be 2 weeks till the next time we do a fic, but preview started. Let's get it going. Love football.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang. What's the hang?
My riddle's rant of the week. I'm taking it to Ace Hardware. Everyone's saying, like, Ace Hardware? Why? Where's that coming in here? Ace Hardware. So, broke my car key about a month ago. Right? Snapped in half. Just, it was bent. I don't know what happened. I was trying to fix it. Snapped off my fucking car key. Had an Uber home from work. Uber back the next day. I had a spare. I've been using the spare ever since. Went to Ace Hardware to get a duplicate. Said they'd order me one. Haven't got back to me. It's been 2 weeks now. They said it would take me a day. Right? And it's weird because they were kind of rough in there. It kind of scared me at the Ace Hardware. They weren't very friendly, which sucks because you're like, damn, I have to go back in there. But it's like, I also, you know, it says 4-focus key. Does not have the chip in it. Should not take the time it's taking, and now they're doing me dirty. I'm having to go back in there. It's going to be the whole process again. But I need, moral of the story, have a second key. If I didn't have a second spare key, Riddle Daddy, as you know it, would be on the tracks, right? So this is a bad process. I'm trying to get, you know, hold of it. Also, getting a new license sucks. You know, for those of you that haven't gotten a new license yet, mine just expired. I mean, I just expired last week because it was my birthday. Happy birthday to RMT. Turned 26 last week. But now he's having to get a license or, you know, renew his license. But it has to be what's called the real ID, which goes into effect in 2023. For those of you that don't know or need a new ID, might as well get the real ID. If you don't have the real ID, you can't fly, right? So if you're getting a new license that's not the real ID, you're going to have to get a real ID anyway. So just get the real ID. But, yeah, you have to go home. I said to get, like, my birth certificate, social, 2 forms of residency, so, like, a lease and a bank statement. So for those of you that need a new real ID, it's just the podcast to listen to because I'm going tomorrow morning. I'm getting it done. Just a pain in the fucking ass.
G4 Spotlight of the Week.
My G4 Spotlight of the Week actually goes out to G-Force. G-Force and her brother, my great Uncle Durwood, my parents. We're all going to the Cubs game today. Uncle Durwood's a huge, huge Dodgers fan. He's been a fan for like 60 years, so he's not a bandwagon. But just a huge baseball fan in general. So Cubs are actually playing the Brewers today. People are asking, oh, are you seeing the Cubs-Dodgers? Because Durwood's in town. I'm like, no, just he loves baseball. So we're seeing a Cubs game where he gets some wings before. It's going to be a good time. So great to see a game with the family. And then on Sunday, we're doing a little birthday celebration with myself, whose birthday was last week, and one of our other, my second cousin, so my cousin's kid's birthday. So we're going to go back to our house in Elmhurst, have a good time. It's going to be a good little, I love a little, good little family weekend when it's good weather, too. It's like 70s out, you know, not too hot, not too cold, family's here. It's a good time. You know, you cherish those times. My flick of the week this week, it's a TV show. Right? A series, a sci-fi series for all you sci-fi lovers. Van Helsing. So there's a Van Helsing movie, like 20 years ago probably, right? Maybe like 15. It was okay, right? Vampire, you know, movie. This new show, though, 5 seasons on Sci-Fi. It's vampires, but it's like zombies, too. They're like zombie vampire. It's like kind of an apocalypse thing. Yeah, I'm only 4 episodes in, so I still don't know too much. Everyone's still in panic mode. They're locked up in this hospital. There's one, but the main character, the girl, I don't even know her name, right? You barely, in a show like this, you're so just consumed with like the zombie vampires that you don't really know everyone's names. Yeah, I mean, I will once I watch more. It always takes you like half a season to like get people's names down. It's tough on a TV show. There's like 10, right? But they're in this hospital right now. This chick who's a good girl, right? A good girl. She says she's not a bad guy, right? But she like when the zombie or vampire bites you, you turn to one of them, right? But then she got bit, but then she turned back to human. But then if she bites you, right, you also can reform from the vampire form. So I don't know how that works. They don't know yet, though. They don't tell you. So everyone's trying to figure out this girl that was in lockdown. She's almost in a coma, right, for a long time. So this army base, this one army guy has been guarding her. That's what's been going on before like, the show starts, right? And then so he doesn't know what's going on, but now he's like, what the hell? So they're trying to figure out who this girl is. Can she save the universe, essentially? So great show. It's a zombie vampire show. It's awesome. Blood, guts, feel like all that stuff. So I highly recommend it. Van Helsing. Patrick Sullivan, my coworker, great guy, great tennis player. He recommended me this show. So thank you. Thank you, Sully. My bet of the week this week. So before I get into this, new Twitter page, RMT, Wilton Winners. So that's RMT, but a different name. It's the Wilton household, and it's just Winners. It's a gambling name. For about a month and a half now, RMT's had his own picks. So he tweets out his picks before the game. Has like 30, 40 followers, so not bad. Really does it for himself. He just wants to change up the mojo. But follow Wilton Winners on Twitter. I have a spreadsheet, so it posts the wins, losses. They're up there. Currently down $5. So I'm 22 and 23 all time. And that's pretty good considering it's baseball. So we're out there. Lately it's been good. We've been cashing. Like, we lose, we cash. We lose, we cash. We cash, cash, cash. Then we lose. It's a whole part of the game. You understand gambling. If you do it, you're going to lose. But it's all about getting back from that loss, right? So Wilt Winners pick tonight, play of the day, Toronto Blue Jays money line, Kevin Gausman going up against the New York Yankees and Jameson Taillon, good pitcher for the Yanks, one of their better pitchers. But I'm riding with the Blue Jays here. Blue Jays are hot. They won their last two games. So they almost got swept against the Orioles, then took them to town 6-1 on Wednesday. Took the struggling Yankees to town yesterday. And now they got Gausman, one of the best pitchers, not only in the Blue Jays, but in the league. I love Gausman. I got my -102. The money's definitely going to be piling in on the Blue Jays, I think. So they're going to – I saw them at -110 on one book. But getting them for that type of line, it might be a trap line. It looks too easy, but you take it because you just don't see Kevin Gausman getting a -102 line. And he's going up against the Yankees team that just is bad right now. Yeah, they're 29 games over, but they've been sucking the last 3 weeks. And I know because I've been betting on them. So I will take the Blue Jays 10 times out of 10 here. Yankees are always tough at home with the short porch in right field, but I'm riding with the Blue Jays. They're hot. They need wins just as bad as anybody right now. I'm taking the Blue Jays -102. Fucking let's cash. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Have yourself a weekend. I'm going to the Cubs game again today. Like I said, I went to the Sox game yesterday. We got our Johnny Yard Games brunch tomorrow. Happy birthday to Yard Games. My roommate Elsie turned 27. We are getting after it tomorrow, that's for sure, before we draft. So it's going to be a hell of a day. We got keg going. So enjoy this last couple weekends of summer before. I mean, I love fall, but enjoy the summer while it's still here. I love you all. Riddle Me That podcast is back. We will see you guys next week. Go Dukes.